This is a LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information, or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. This recording is by Mark Smith of Simpsonville, South Carolina. Uncle Remus by Joel Chandler Harris. Volume 4, His Sayings, Saying Number 19, As a Weather Prophet. Uncle Remus was enlightening a crowd of Negroes at the car shed yesterday.
"Dat ain't nothin'," said the old man, shaking his head pensively. "Dat ain't got no change wrote on it. Dere ain't nothin' dat ain't spotted before it begins for to commence. We all experiences dat providence what lifts us up from one place and sets us down in de other. It's continually a movin' and a movin'."
"Dat's so. You're talking now," came from several of his hearers.
"I hear Miss Sally readin' this mornin'," continued the old man, "dat a man was comin' down yere for to take care of de weather. One of dese yere bureau mens which goes around a-puttin' up and pullin' down."
"What he gwine do round here?" asked one.
"He's a-gwine to regulate de weather," replied Uncle Remus sententiously. "He's a-gwine to fix it up so dat dere won't be so much worriment among de white folks about de kind of weather what falls to dere lot."
"He's gwine dish 'em up," suggested one of the older ones, "like man dish out sugar."
"No," answered Uncle Remus, mopping his benign features with a very large and very red bandana.
"He's gwine to fix 'em better'n dat. He's gwine to fix 'em up so you can have any kind of wedded what you want without toting her home."
"How's dat?" asked someone.
"Hit's a dis way," said the old man thoughtfully. "In course you knows what kind of weather you want. Well, den, when de man comes along, which Miss Sally say he will, you just gotta go up dar, pick out your weather, and dere'll be a clock set for to suit your case. And when you get home, dere'll be your weather a settin' out in de yard waitin' for you. I wish you was here now," the old man continued. "I'd take a pair of frosts in mine, if I cotch cold for it. Dat's me."
There were various exclamations of assent, and the old man went on his way singing, "Don't you grieve out of me." End of saying. Saying number 20, The Old Man's Troubles.
"What makes you look so lonesome, Brer Remus?" asked a well-dressed negro as the old man came shuffling down the street by James's corner yesterday.
"You are mighty right. I'm lonesome, Brer John Henry. When an old nigger like me has got to paddle a canoe and do de fishin' at the same time, and when you bleeds to catch de fish and dasn't turn de paddle loose for to bait the hook, then I tell you, Brer John, you are right where de mink had de goslin'. Mars John and Miss Sally, they done been gone down under Putman County fur to see their kinfolks mighty nigh 4 days, and you better believe I done been had to scratch round mighty lively fur to make the rations run out even."
"I was at your house last night, Brer Remus," remarked Brer John Henry, "but I couldn't rouse you out of bed."
"It was the unseasonableness of the hour, I expect," said Uncle Remus dryly. "'Pears unto me that you all church deacons settin' up mighty late these cold nights. You be slippin' round after hours some time or another, and you'll slip bodaciously into the calaboose. You mind what I tell you?"
"It's mighty cold weather," said Brer John Henry, evidently wishing to change the subject.
"Cole!" exclaimed Uncle Remus. "Hit got past cole on de quarter stretch. You ought to come to my house the night 'fore last. Then you'd have found me live and kickin'."
"How's that?"
"Well, I tell you, Brer John Henry, de cole was so cole, and de kiver was so light, dat I thunk I'd make a raid on Mars John's shingle pile, and out I goes and totes in a whole armful.
Den I gits under de cover and tells my old woman for to lay 'em on to me like she was roofin' a house. By and by she crawls in, and de shingles what she put on her side for to cover wid, dey all drap off on de floor. Den I gits up and piles 'em on again, and when I gits in bed, my shingles drap off. And that's the way it was the whole blessed night. First it was me up, and then the old woman, and it just kept us powerful warm, too, that kind of exercise. Oh, you ought to drap round about that time, Brer John Henry. You'd a yeared show enough cussin'.
You don't tell me, Brer Remus.
My old woman say the old boy wouldn't have found a riper nigger if he were to scour the country from Virginia to Alabama.
End of saying. Saying number 21, the 4th of July. Uncle Remus made his appearance recently with his right arm in a sling, and his head bandaged to that extent that it looked like the stick made to accompany the centennial bass drum. The old man evidently expected an attack all around, for he was unusually quiet, and fumbled in his pockets in an embarrassed manner. He was not mistaken. The agricultural editor was the first to open fire.
"Well, you old villain, what have you been up to now?"
"It is really singular," remarked a commencement orator, "that not even an ordinary holiday—a holiday, it seems to me, that ought to arouse all the latent instincts of patriotism in the bosom of American citizens—can occur without embroiling some of our most valuable citizens. It is really singular to me that such a day should be devoted by a certain class of our population to broils and fisticuffs."
This fine moral sentiment, which was altogether an impromptu utterance, and which was delivered with the air of one who addresses a vast but invisible audience of young ladies in white dresses and blue sashes, seemed to add to the embarrassment of Uncle Remus, and at the same time to make an explanation necessary.
"Dey ain't none of you young white men never had no occasion for to strike up with one of dese yer Mobile niggers?" asked Uncle Remus. "'Cause if you is, den you knows whereabouts de devilment come in. Show me a Mobile nigger," continued the old man, "and I'll show you a nigger that's marked for the chain gang. Hit may be the 4th or the 5th of July, or it may be the 12th of January. But when a Mobile nigger gets in my neighborhood, right then and there trouble sails in and engages boat for the season. I expect I'm as fond of these United States as the next man what knows that the borough is busted up. But long as Remus can stand on his hind legs, no Mobile nigger can't flip into this town longer no West Point inspection and boss around among the colored folks. That's me up and down, and I bound there's a nigger somewheres on the road this blessed day that's got this put away in his remembrance."
"How did he happen to get you down and maul you in this startling manner?" asked the commencement orator with a tone of exaggerated sympathy in his voice.
"Maul who?" exclaimed Uncle Remus indignantly. "Maul who? Boss, the nigger that mauled me ain't boned yet, and dey a got to have another war for one is bond."
"Well, what was the trouble?"
"It was sort of this way, boss. I was standing down there by Mars' John Jeems's bank, chatting with Sis Tempy, which I ain't seed her before now going on 7 year, and watching the folks tromping by, when one of these here slick-looking niggers, with a bee-gum hat and a brass watch as big as the head of a beer barrel, come along and brush up agin me, just like so. There was two of 'em, and they went along giggling and laughing like a nestle of yellow hammers. By and by, they come along again, and the smart aleck brush up by me once more. Then I say to myself, 'I lay I fetch you if you give me another invite.' And sure enough, here come again, and this time he rub a piece of watermelon rime under my left ear."
"What did you do?"
"Me? I'm a mighty long-suffering nigger, but he had no more'n touch me, for I flung these yere bones in his face."
Here Uncle Remus held up his damaged hand triumphantly.
"I sort of sprained my hand, boss, but dog my cats if I don't believe I spattered the nigger's eyeballs on the ground, and when he riz, his countenance looked fresh like beef haslet. I look mighty spindlin' and puny now, don't I, boss?"
inquired the old man with great apparent earnestness.
"Rather." "Well, you just ought to see me get my African up. They used to call me a bad nigger long 'fore the war, and it looks liker to me that I gets worse and worse. Brer John Henry say that I ought to subdue my rashfulness, and I don't dispute it. But turn a Mobile nigger loose in this town, 4th of July or no 4th of July, and me and him, one is going to land in jail. It's pruned into me."
And that's the last of the sayings in Uncle Remus. End of book.